want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, it is Monday morning in Brevard County, and we're off and running, ready for another victorious week. I hope that you are saying good morning, Lord, instead of good Lord, it's morning. And you have tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we're looking forward to spending the next half hour with you today. I was talking with someone last week. I guess it was after the Wednesday night service, and it was like, man, I am shocked that it is only 2 weeks into the new year. My schedule has been just so full that I was shocked to look up that Wednesday and see that it was like the 16th of January or something like that. We were only halfway through the month, and it's like, my goodness, there's been a lot of activity that has been packed into an early part of the year thus far. But thank God he gives us strength, and we are thankful that you have chosen to make this journey with us today. We're talking about forgiveness, and all of us could use that. In fact, I was telling somebody here just recently, I said, man, as I've been doing this teaching on forgiveness, I've been learning about forgiveness, and we're going to be sharing some of those truths here in the next few broadcasts. We do want to say thank you to one of our partners today, that their family's been a part of Merritt Assembly of God for a long, long time. 321-536-5804 would get you in contact with Jits Concrete. If you need any block or concrete work, they have decades of experience. They've got a great work ethic. They've got tremendous knowledge, great contacts, and have a large amount of territory that their skills are have been utilized in, you know, from Brevard County to over, I believe, in Orange County and things like that. They just have a really, really solid track record. And so if they could be of benefit to you, as I've was extremely busy last week and was driving around. I was driving around in Brevard County. I was parts of Brevard County I don't normally drive in. I was driving around over in the Orlando area at meetings that I was involved in over there, and I just saw tremendous amounts of construction. And that means that there's normally a lot of contractors who are at work and things like that. And so if you got a project that you need to do, you want to give them a call, because if there are not enough people working out there, then it prolongs the time schedule. It takes it a little bit longer. I've got some people I've been trying to connect with, and they're literally so busy that you just need to give them a good amount of time there, so that you don't end up in crunch time. So if you've got a block or concrete job that you need to have done in the near future, give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. They'll be a blessing to you, and that would be a blessing to them. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So Wednesday night, we are going to be launching a new format for our youth ministries on Wednesday night. We're going to be moving from a class dynamic to a group dynamic. We're going to be moving our Acts Youth Ministry. They had a party last night, and then there's going to be pizza and kind of a blast-off event that is taking place this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, at Merritt Assembly of God, and that'll be taking place in the Fellowship Hall. It'll be turned into Youth Hall that night, and so we're looking forward to new beginnings in that ministry as we continue to adjust our ministry for whatever God has for us to do at that point in time. The things that at Merit Assembly of God, they're not set in stone. We start ministries, we transition ministries. Sometimes we stop ministries. If there's no need for it, there's no need for us to continue to do it. But youth ministry, we're changing the night. They had a party last night, and from this point on, they're going to transition from Sunday night to Wednesday night. And, I believe that'll work. It works better for us. Allows our facilities are now available to such an extent that we can make that happen on Wednesday nights instead of requiring two separate nights, for our adult Bible study and for our youth ministry. So that's coming up. If you'd like to get in on that during the transition, you're more than welcome to come. If you're a young person, we just don't let any adult, get involved in youth ministry. They've got to go through thorough background checks and to be established with the, ministry of the church before they get into youth ministry. We believe that children are a great treasure, entrusted by God to a church, and we're not going to do anything that's going to risk young people by exposing them to things that have not proven themselves faithful and, passed a thorough background check. So that's some of the things that are coming up at Merit Assembly of God. Let's get into the Word of God today if we can, and let's begin to look at forgiveness. I'm going to take you to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11. We're going to read on down to verse number 15. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 11. And what we're going to begin discussing today, and I don't know how far we will get, is we're going to get into the purpose of forgiveness. The purpose of forgiveness. So Colossians chapter 2, verse number 11, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us and was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." I want to take you to verse number 13. Once again, where it says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and in uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." So remember that the measure we use of forgiveness is the measure that is used against us. And so we want to make sure that not just some of our sins are forgiven, but all of our sins are forgiven. And so therefore, we need to be people who have wiped the slate clean for everybody in our life. We need to make sure we've canceled all of those things. We forgive them. We bless them. You know, I've had some people, I've had some relationships in my life, and they've moved away from me. I'm primarily talking about things that happened decades ago. And they made transitions, whether I wanted the transition made or not. They made a decision and said, you know what, we're going to move away. And so I don't want to hold that over them and say, God, you know, make their teeth like they're chewing gravel, or may their enemies rise up, may the fleas of a thousand camels infest their armpits. Or don't want any of that sort of stuff going on. I want them forgiven. And so I want to be in that place that I can raise my hands and I can bless them in the name of the Lord. And I say, I pray that God blesses you in the areas of your life where he leads you, the directions that he leads you. I pray that you will be blessed. I've I had a pastor one time that I worked for that he fired me. And, you know, in all honest assessment, he was a phenomenal evangelist. I wasn't a great youth pastor, but I thought he was a phenomenal evangelist. I'd been raised in church. I had been to Bible school. I kept my heart clean. And man, when he preached, there was such a conviction that you felt like you needed to get saved all over again. He was a tremendous evangelist, and I've prayed for years that God would bless him in the ministry that God led him forth into. And that's one of the great things that we can do is we can say, God, I forgive them all. I want to send forth all of the hurt, all of the pain. I want to disconnect the support system that is keeping grudges and hurts and wounds alive. I think I've used the illustration here on the radio program before about when Ed Silvoso came to Melbourne in 1998, I believe it was, that he talked about a man who came into his office and told him that he said it all, in all honesty, it was one of the saddest stories that I'd ever encountered. And he was weeping and I was weeping. And at the end of that service, that meeting, I asked him a question and I said, how long ago did this happen? And he said, 42 years ago. And he had been carrying around this hurt and this pain for 42 years ago. And he didn't realize that in carrying the offense or the hurt around, that he was depriving himself of the healing that Jesus wanted to bring to that situation. In this passage that we look at today, we see that forgiveness makes us alive. You see, Jesus didn't come, and this is not a Bob Arthur's original, I don't know who originally said it, but Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And it is the forgiveness of Jesus Christ that transforms us from being dead in our trespasses and sin, and he makes us alive together with him. And I pray today that the wonder, the amazement of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ would be something that floods your soul. If you'd like a corresponding verse that talks about how we were dead in sin, and it says, "In you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." The truth of the matter is this: there are a lot of people who are walking around who are alive in the flesh, but they're dead in the spirit. Jesus came not necessarily to remove from us the encounter that we will have with physical death, but to make sure that the second death that is talked about in Revelation is not something that we have to endure. Death is a concept. It means separation. It means separation from God. So when a physical body dies, it means that it is separated from oxygen. It means it's separated from the life and the energy that God intended for that physical body to have. But spiritual death is a much more serious matter. And it required Jesus getting the spiritual victory as well. And so he wants to make us alive. And that happens when our sins are forgiven. So we don't want to go right back to that which killed us in the beginning, sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Okay, that's what the Bible says. The soul that sins, that's the soul that's going to die. Sin is lethal. Sin is toxic. And Jesus, in his great mercy, came and made it possible for us who were once dead to be made very much alive. Living people act different than people who are spiritually dead. They have a different priority system. They have a different appreciation. Okay. I've got a friend who is very dear to me, a precious brother in Christ, and he experienced death a couple of times before when he wasn't living for God. And God in his mercy raised him up. And even in that, it still took a while, but I tell you, when he experienced spiritual life, it radically changed this man. Good man, please understand, you could be a good person and be very much dead in your trespasses and sin. You can. This guy, even though he had some sin issues in his life, he was still a very good person. But he wasn't spiritually alive. And I pray today that we treasure and value the resurrected life that Jesus has given to us. It's miraculous that we can have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Truly, truly miraculous. It's made possible because of what Christ did for us. So it says, we were buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God. Now, I want you to see that the scripture declares that the just shall live by faith. We receive forgiveness by faith. Okay? We have faith in the working of God. So I would ask you to put more confidence in, more faith in what God is able to wipe away than you would have faith in that which the devil is able to remind you of. See, God takes our sins and he casts them as far as the east is from the west, you know, casts them into a sea of forgetfulness. He remembers them no more. But the devil has no intention of doing that. The Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren, and it doesn't even say that he is the false accuser of the brethren, although when he lies, he speaks his native language. But there are many accusations that the devil could bring before God that are historically accurate. They would be an accurate representation of acts that I committed, thoughts that I had that crossed my mind, people that I did not treat in the way that God would have treated. And you know, if he was there, if there was only one side to the trial, his accusation would be factually correct. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is that Jesus came and died on the cross and experienced separation from the Father so that my sins could be forgiven. He was raised from the dead by the power of God. And if I believe that God was able to do all of that, I can have tremendous confidence that even though the accuser of the brethren stands there with historically accurate accusations against me, but my faith is not in his accusations. My faith is in the forgiveness of God that says that is all been paid for. It's all been washed away, and it is no longer relevant. Okay? The blood of Jesus makes our previous sins irrelevant. God says, there is no basis for this accusation. It's all been placed under the blood of Jesus. So my wife and I had a Friday night to ourselves here a week or so ago, and it was a chilly night, and I was just you know, not too long back from my missions trip. And she said she had bought me a fire pit for Father's Day, my birthday, something like that. I never put it together. And so it got put together while I was away. And she said, I'd like to go out and sit around the fire pit. So we did. We went and we watched the fire. And then there was a bit of a chill in the air that night. And I kept asking her, because she gets, you know, she's much colder natured than I am. And I said, do you want to go in? She said, no, I want to sit out here. And so we sat out by the fire. We marveled at the way that the fire moved. And there was kind of a little vortex that was going on there. And it was a really pretty fire. It burned for a long, long time. And pretty soon we wanted to make sure that we experienced not only the atmosphere of the fire, but the benefit of the fire. And so we moved a little bit closer and got to experience some of the warmth that fire could bring. And then I decided that I did not want to just sit by my wife by the fire warming ourselves. I wanted to look at her through the fire. I wanted the fire to be able to brighten up the night. And so I positioned myself where we weren't just experiencing the same thing together. We were experiencing it, and I was getting to see her through the flames that were right there. I pray that right now that there are some people who your perspective of people changes because you are seeing them through the lens of God's love, that you are able to forgive them because you know that God forgave you. And I will tell you, it changes your perspective. You see different things that you didn't see before. When you forgive people, you know what you're going to do? You're going to see good qualities in them that you were blinded to before because of the pain or the hurt, the bitterness and the perception that you can have. All of that can change the way that you receive something or perceive something. And so I encourage you to look at people and say, you know what? I believe that God not only has the power to work in me to bring forgiveness, but I believe that God has the power to work in me to forgive other people as well. And then you will begin to see them in a different light. You will see them as a mutual recipient of the forgiveness of God. I encountered some people last week that they were having some challenges in their life, and when I saw them, I don't know them, I don't know them at all, never seen them before, but when I saw them, my heart was grieved for them because there's spiritual death reigning in their life. And God has life, has spiritual life, abundant life available for them. So I was having a conversation with someone recently, and they were talking about some challenges that they were having with a person, and we dealt with this person and saying, okay, well, here's the adjustment that we need to make in you. We dealt with that first. But then when we got to the other situation, I said, I want to challenge you to, instead of looking at them and condemning them or you know, minimizing what God is doing in their life, what I would like for you to do is I would like for you to be moved with compassion for them and realize that there are many people who are supposed to be spiritually alive who are constantly tinkering, fooling around with things that will result in either a lower quality of life or be life-threatening altogether. And I really do feel bad for people. See, holiness is the highest quality of life that we could have. And every time we sacrifice holiness for convenience, every time we sacrifice the will of God for the desires or the pleasures of men, we end up wounding and injuring ourselves. There was a story that I read last week about a young man who wanted some technology. It was in a different country. It wasn't here in America. And so somebody came and offered to pay him a pretty significant sum of money, nothing life altering, but it was enough to get him these things that he wanted. He said, "All you got to do is give me a kidney." And he says, "Well, I've got two. I only need one." But what he didn't realize that the person who was doing the surgery wasn't a professional. And once they removed that kidney, it also damaged the other kidney. And now that person is living just barely on the precipice of life because he made a bad decision. I want to encourage you today. Two things. First of all, if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, don't wait a minute longer. Your best life is ahead of you with Jesus at the helm. And the second thing that I want to say today is if you are still holding on to hurt and wounds of the past, let it go. Forgive them. Forgive them because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Forgive them because the power of God made you alive, and the power of God will make them alive. Release them and forgive them, and you will find that there is a lot better life that is ahead of you because forgiveness. I am so thankful for the forgiveness of God. If you are thankful for it, let him know. And if you're thankful for the forgiveness that Jesus has to offer, don't just keep it to yourself. Extend it to those around you, and you'll find your life is improving day by day. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I'll stand in awe of you. Yes, I'll stand.